so glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
We're going to get into the Word. I want to preach to you on the subject this morning, Lost in the House. Lost in the House. Somebody said, Pastor, that's kind of eerie to be, that picture is kind of eerie. Well, I don't know about you, but it's eerie to be lost in the house. You ever woke up and not realize where you was at? Anybody ever? Well, I'm talking about after Christ there, Popeye. Those of us who hadn't served the Lord all of our lives, we woke up a few times like thinking, where am I? And what in God's name did I do last night? But I'm thankful that I don't do that B.C. I don't do that after Christ, after I got saved. But there has been a times when I woke up and thought, where am I? There was a time when I was traveling a lot and I would be in a different hotel every couple of nights. And I wasn't sure which, you know, you wake up half staggering and trying to figure out which room is the bathroom. You know, and you don't want to be like my wife's brother. He woke up at a new house and thought the bathroom was my wife's closet and just went there. So that's where he went. But we hope that doesn't happen to you. But lost in the house. I want you to go with me to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 3. And as you're turning there, especially if you attend here regularly, would you just look over at somebody and tell them, this is a great church because I'm in it. Yeah, go ahead and tell them. And especially if you attend regularly, tell them, this is a great church because I'm in it. Now, are you ready? Look back at somebody else and tell them, this church is messed up because I'm in it. Now, that's going to fit in here in a minute. Yeah, the church is great because I'm in it. It's also messed up because I'm in it. Lost in the house, taken from 1 Samuel chapter 3. When you're there, say amen. If you're not planning on finding it, say, go ahead, preacher, I'm a heathen. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. Now, I want you to get this. The boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. He helped Eli, the high priest. Now, in those days from the Lord were very rare. Messages from the Lord were very rare, and visions were quite uncommon. One night, Eli, who was almost blind by now, had gone to bed. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. Suddenly, the Lord called out, Samuel. Yes, Samuel replied. What is it? He got up and ran to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? Eli replied, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. So he did. Then the Lord called out again, Samuel. Again, Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? I didn't call you, my son, Eli said. Go back to bed. Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he had never had a message from the Lord before. Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he had not yet had a message from the Lord before. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would help me deliver what you've placed in my spirit, and that we would not only hear it, but we would receive it, and we would be challenged and or changed in the name of Jesus. And the church said amen. Amen. I need to start off by saying that Samuel in our text is a product of a godly mother. For those of you who don't know the story behind Samuel, Samuel was born out of a prayer that his mother Hannah made unto God. The Bible said that Hannah's womb was closed up and she prayed day and night for God to give her a child, and God blessed her with this son Samuel. Here's what she said. She said, "Lord, if you will give me a son, if you will give me a child, I will dedicate them unto you. If you give me a son, I will dedicate him unto you." And in chapters 1 and 2, it tells us that as soon as Samuel was weaned from his mother, that she dropped him off at the church. She took him to be raised in the house of God. Now, I want just to take a side note here and tell you, moms, that you have an influence on your kids that no one else has, because nobody loves your child like you. Nobody can love somebody like a mama. You know, when daddy's done gave up, when daddy's done wrote them off, mama will still be there believing and praying and slipping them money on the side. Come on, somebody. Daddy done cut them off. Daddy ain't giving them no more. But money, but mama will still be slipping them a little something on the side. And let me say this to you, that I believe that we've taken too much emphasis off of the fact that you can be successful, or we've taken the emphasis off of that you can't be successful just as a mother. That you must be successful in a career also. But let me just go on record and say that I believe that you can be a huge success if you raise God-fearing children. Let me just go on record and say that I believe that you can be a success if you're never a success in the world, if you are a success as a mom. Can you say amen? Society says that you have to have a career to be called successful. And while we can have a career and be a mom and be, and there's nothing wrong with that, being a successful businesswoman is good, but yet being a mother to your children and being a father to your children, it should be your first priority of being successful. I hope one day that they call me a successful pastor. I hope one day they call me a successful pulpiteer. I hope they call me this. But none of that matters if my children can't call me a successful father and their mother a successful mother. That's my number one priority, is to be successful in those areas. And then my career, my calling, my other things take second to only my children. I'll go one step further. In order to be a successful pastor, I need to be a successful father, and I need to be a successful husband. Now, I'm not saying that if you've ever been divorced, you can't be that. Now, I'm not saying that. I'm just telling you, what gives me a right to pastor you is that I first must pastor my family. That doesn't mean that they've all got to be good and they all got to do, but I must pastor them first. Good preaching, pastor. And the reason our kids are in such bad shape in the United States here is because that they're being raised by TV and babysitters. And they're being raised by YouTube. They're being raised by daycares. And I know that there are great daycares out there. But let me just go on record that you don't need to look to the schools and the daycares for your children's morals and teaching them what is right and wrong, and teaching them the value of life, and teaching them the value of family, and teaching them the value of respecting themselves. I can't get no help, but I'm going to preach anyway. I'm not even going to go there. Let me move on. We need parents who will stand flat-footed and say, "I must succeed first at raising my children." That's the most important thing. That's the most important. Because let me tell you, my reason for wanting successful children is a little bit selfish. Because I know when I get older, they're going to decide what nursing home I go in. And I want them to be very successful. These kids are our profession first, folks. But in our text, Samuel's mom, Hannah, goes to the altar. She prays and God gives her a child. Says, bless me with him and I'll give him back to you. So Samuel is born in a covenant that he is not even aware of himself. My God, that'd preach right there. He's in a covenant that he's not even aware of himself. See, some of us were born into stuff we didn't even know anything about. I went to church 9 months before I ever was born. I don't know if you realize it, but I'm a drug addict. I was drugged to church. I was drugged to Sunday school. I was drugged to Wednesday night. I was drugged everywhere there was church. I was drugged there. And I'm telling you that I'm a better person because of it. Well, Pastor, I don't believe in dragging my children to the house of God. Then don't make them go to school. Well, Pastor, I'm afraid if I make them go to church, they will hate the church. Well, you make them go to school and they hate school, but it's because we put emphasis on what school is and we don't put emphasis on their character and the morals and the spirituality in which they must have in order to be successful citizens, in order to be good Christians. Oh, I'm preaching better than you, amen. But Samuel is taken by his mom, dropped off, and he's left there. What I mean is this, that there has been a prearrangement that when he was born, his mom said, Lord, I'll give him back to you. And he was not somebody born wondering, I wonder what I'm going to do when I grow up. No, they already had it prearranged. You going to work at the house of God. Aren't you glad that when you were born, that it wasn't already prearranged that you're going to go work in the slaughterhouse or you're going to go work in the pig pen? You're not going to go. No, but this was already prearranged. And so here's when she weans him. And she brings him to the house of the Lord and turns him over to the house of God. Now I know some of you that don't know church history and that don't know history itself thinking, my Lord, he's weaned. He's a year. Now, ain't no telling how old he was. Back in them days, man, you'd still be there about 5, 6, 7 years old. You know, it's bad when you can just undress mama. I'm hungry. Amen. But he was turned over. I want you to catch this. So she, when he is weaned, she brings him to the house of the Lord and turns him over not to just God, but to the house of the Lord. There's a big, big difference in turning someone over to the house of God and turning somebody over to God. Now watch here, point number one. Watch close. She turns him over to the house of God and says, okay, God, I have turned him over to you. Oh, y'all not getting it yet. I've turned him over to the house of God, and so therefore I've turned him over to you. Just because your kids come to church don't mean that you've turned them over to him. I'll go one step further. Just because you're here today, and I don't want you to leave, but just because you're here today doesn't mean that you know God. Just because you come to church doesn't mean that you have a relationship with God. How do you know? Because I've been there, done that, bought the t-shirt and the postcards and everything that had to do with it. Because I am, like I told you, am a product of being drugged to church. And I was there and I was in church, but I did not know God. She brings him to church and drops him off and says, there, I give him to you. There are some of you that we're going to have a baby dedication in a couple of weeks. And you dedicate your child and you think, well, there it is. I've done it. I've turned him over to God. No, you must walk before them and show them how to live. Show them how to have a relationship. Show them how to treat others. Show them how to read your Bible. Show them how that you have a personal relationship with God, that you don't just have a personal relationship with the church. know, that's the church is good, but church is not the all in all. Church is great. You need to bring them up in church, but more than just bringing them up in church, you need to show them how to act when you're at church, how to worship Him, how to enter in, and then how to do it when you're at home. Well, preacher, I'll tell you, I know the problem. The problem is that they took prayer out of school, but they never took it out of the home. That's where we're missing it. See, now he enters into a system that is imperfect. That's why I wanted you to look at your neighbor and say that you're what's right with this church, but you're also what's wrong with this church. Because I'll say it, I'm part of what's right with this church, but I'm also part of what's wrong with this church. Why? Because I am imperfect. The church is an imperfect system, and it has its flaws. Well, that's right, Pastor. That's why I don't go to church. Oh, you moron. And that's a Greek word. And the original, it means idiot. I'm just kidding. Don't go start looking it up. In our text, Eli is an old man. And the older I get, the less I see what's wrong with that. He's an old man. He's a prophet. His eyes were growing dim. And I believe he was also going spiritually blind. It's one thing to be blind in your eyes. It's another thing to be blind in your spirit. It's one thing to have spiritual eyes, and it's another thing to have physical eyes. It's one thing to see in the spirit and another thing to see in the flesh. But if you got to choose one, you ought to choose seeing spiritually. This is not to say God did not use him in a mighty way. But he did not have the force and the impact that he was used to have. Well, I'm going to go out here on a limb. There are some churches that are dying because they're being led by men who don't have or don't know when to quit. God, help me not to be that man. Help me not to be that man. You know, I took a sabbatical a year and a half ago. You know, one of the reasons why? I wanted to make sure that God, there was my effectiveness still in. Do I still have the vision? Do I still have the anointing? Lord, I need to know. It doesn't matter what you said or what you say, and you're always very, very appreciative, and you're always very nice to me, but that's not what I'm looking for. God, I need to know. It doesn't matter if anybody else knows. I need to know if you are through with me in Crystal River. I had to know that because I don't want to be one of those men who don't know when it's time to hang up your spurs or hang it up and say it's over. I had to know. Can I tell you that we've got too many men who are leading churches that do not have vision anymore, that do not have spiritual eyes to hear? Well, Pastor, what do? We either pray that God gives them a renewed spirit, a renewed vision, or we pray that God gives them the courage to go ahead and retire and let somebody else come along and do what needs to be done. I can see some of the confusion on your face. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to clap or not. Whatever, yes. When you have served God faithfully and reached your purpose, it's time for you to step back and let some young men take over and take them to the other side. Why do you think we have young men in our church? Because I won't always be here. Listen, I hope to God when I'm 70, I'm still preaching somewhere. I hope to God when I'm 80, I'm still preaching, but I'm hoping I'm preaching on some different terms, Pastor. I hope that I'm able to look up here and maybe have Josh and Steve and some of these other young men doing things, and maybe I'm just, I'm overseeing or something. I don't know. But here's what I don't want to do is lose my effectiveness and be blind to the fact that I've lost vision. Eli had lost his vision. And then he had two sons that were in charge, and he wouldn't judge them. Ooh. Now listen up. young men and women in our church who serve in ministry teams. I will judge. Well, the Bible says, judge not, lest you be judged. So we want to mess that up. Well, the Bible said, don't judge. That is not what the Bible says. The Bible says, judge lest you be judged. What that means is don't judge unless you want the same judge to judge you. So if you're judging by the word of God, it's all right to go ahead and judge. And so I've just come by to tell you that Eli would not judge his sons, and therefore the spirituality of the tabernacle and the holiness of the tabernacle was lacking. Their names were Hophni and Phinehas, and they were wreaking havoc in the church. They were there as predators. Listen, do you know any, I'm going to use quotation marks, men and women of God who are in that? I know some. Don't you call their name. I won't. But they're predators. They were wreaking havoc in the church. They were sleeping with the women. Matter of fact, I just heard of, was it in Chicago, Steve, that we talked about the other day? Ohio. A couple of, three pastors who were grooming 13 and 14 year old girls to sleep with the other pastors. And we wonder what's wrong with the church. Somebody has got to judge. The Bible says that judgment starts in the house of God. Hallelujah. So we've got to come to a place that they were perverse. They were going into the house of the Lord, and yet Samuel, they were not being judged. They were taking money that didn't belong to them. I mean, there's a lot of that go around. They were doing all these things, and then Samuel was added into that environment. Ooh. He was brought into that environment to have an experience with God, to have a relationship with God, and he never did. He was just lost in the house. My God, how many people, don't point at nobody, this is between you and God, how many of us are lost in the house? How many of us come and sit on the pew, but nobody knows? Nobody knows. Nobody knows where we're at. See, although we serve a perfect God, we serve out of an imperfect church. Why? Because man is involved. You are involved. I am involved. And that's where we serve out of. Now, here's the real miracle about God. That God does not need a perfect place. God doesn't need a perfect system. He doesn't even need perfect people to reveal himself to those who he has called. Glory to God. See, he can step into a flawed situation. He can step right in to a dysfunctional church, a dysfunctional family, a dysfunctional system, a dysfunctional society, and still reveal who he is to those in whom he has called. Glory to God. You know, listen, there are some times that in order for me to pray and to get the mind of God, I need conditions to be right. How many know what I'm talking about? Sometimes I got to come up here when everybody else is gone. Sometimes I got to go to my office when ain't nobody else here and the phones ain't ringing and people are not trying to get in to see me. I've got to get alone, but not God. God don't have to wait for all the conditions to be perfect. He can step right in the middle of your dysfunction. He can step right in the middle of your mess and reveal who he is to you and to the call that he's placed on your life. You see, I hear people saying, now I'll be honest with you, I haven't heard it in this church in a long time, but I hear church people go, well, I just can't grow in this church. I can't be used in this environment. The devil is a liar. If you have a gift, you can be used anywhere. Your gift will make room for you. See, I've come to realize that God got ready to make a light. He stepped into the gross darkness, in the chaos, and said, let there be light. And light began to fling out. It did not have a choice. It just had to obey the voice of Almighty God. When he said, let there be light, the darkness could not hide the light. Because it was so powerful and effective that none of the darkness could affect it. Woo! Listen to me. I could preach in a room full of witches. And I think I've done it a couple times. Pastor, really a room full? Well, the Bible says that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. My God, I've had to step into some pulpits before with rejection and manipulation going on, and felt like I had to preach in a room full of witches. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm telling you, you can be surrounded by hypocrites, you can be surrounded by devils, you can be surrounded by folks who are possessed, but as long as you ain't, as long as your light still shines, as long as you still got the vision of God, as long as you still know who you are in Christ, it doesn't matter what goes on around you, it's what's going on the inside. Side of you that makes the difference. Glory to God. Pardon me while I shout a moment. Glory to God. We've got to come to the point in our lives that we've got to quit reasoning why we are no longer alive. Here in our text, the young man is a man of destiny, a purpose, and even in the sanctuary, in the house of God, he is still inundated by choices. Well, if I can just bring them to the church. I wish I could tell you that if you bring your young people to church, it's a surefire way to get them to heaven. But it is not. Now, my oldest daughter and my youngest daughter went to public school all their lives. And then when we got ready to go to college, they went to a Christian college. My oldest daughter said, Daddy, I was never offered a drink until I went to Christian college. She said, everybody at the high school knew who I was, and they would never offer me a drink. But when I went to college and got around all the other Christians and some of them that wasn't so much Christians, that's when I got offered drinks. Do you think only Christian people come to church? Listen, let me just help some of you. When you come in from the parking lot, lock your car. Amen. Lock your car. Not everybody's saved. Amen. You got money just falling out of your purse, you better close it. Somebody might borrow your money to put something in the offer. Here, let me borrow that. Let me go. We're taking up a special offer today. It's for me. Glory. Thank you. I appreciate that. Come on, it's true. I had a buddy of mine, he used to pastor in a very, very, very rough section of town. And so when he would call the altar call, he'd tell the ladies, now, come to the altar, ladies, but bring your purse. What? Now, you don't leave your purse back there. Everybody ain't saved. Some of y'all today are going to come to the altar with your purse. Get somebody to watch here, watch it for me. There's no perfect church. I wish I could tell you that we could purge this place, that you would always have a holy experience here, but it's not true. Why? Because people come here. Dysfunctional people. Look at your neighbor and tell them, I know that's right. Folks with issues. Folks who are trying. Folks who have a relationship, but is still trying. Come on, somebody. You know, listen, my wife and I have been married for 31 years, and we still trying. I ain't the perfect husband yet. I know she thinks I am, but I won't say that in 11 o'clock service where she's going to be at. I can promise you that. Ha! There's no perfect church, but yet there is mess everywhere, and yet still God is God. Woo. He knows how to take your mess and make a message out of it. How to take your test and give you a testimony in the middle of it. God is not afraid of your scars. He knows how to deal with it. Ah, point two. Point two is this. Religion is not the same as relationship. Religion is not the same as relationship. Give me that old time religion. Don't give it to me. Give me that old time relationship, but not old time religion. Because I don't like religion. Religion stifles, relationship sets free. Ah, listen to me. Help me, Jesus. I don't cheat on my wife because there's a certificate that says we're married. I don't even cheat on my wife because I wear a ring and therefore I cannot. No, it is a symbol of our relationship. One reason why I don't cheat is, number one, I can't find nobody better than her. Number two, I want to continue to live. But number three, it is my relationship with her that I love her, and therefore I'm not looking. Now that you're married, you got to put a close sign. We close for business up in here. We don't need any trespassing. We don't even need you window looking. So quit dressing so everybody else will be looking. Anyway, let me move on. From the time he was weaned, Samuel had been in the church system, learning everything about the church system. Now, how to keep the lamp burning, what to do with the showbread, the feast of the weeks, what the priest should wear. He knew church music, what church worship, church sacrament. Am I talking to anybody? Just because you know what to do don't mean that you're doing it for the right reason. Ah, my God. Help me, Lord. He knew everything about the house of God, but he did not know the God of the house. Oh, good Lord. See, listen, I'm telling you, I'm preaching my testimony. Because I was born and raised in this thing. My daddy had been a pastor all of my life. He was a pastor till 2 years before he died at 89. He pastored at 87. Pastor, why can't you do that? Because I ain't crazy. My daddy was crazy. I was born in this thing. I was raised in this thing. I learned to play the piano because my sister left, not because I loved God, because I loved my daddy. Are you listening? I knew what it was to go clean the church every week, to cut the grass, to go put out the hymn books and take them up and vacuum and work and close the church up. I knew how to dress. Matter of fact, I was a heathen. I was a heathen, but we had a little small church, and the Sunday school teacher wouldn't show up to the teen class, and so they'd say, Ronnie, can you teach it? I was high as a kite just about 7 hours ago. I was drunk as a skunk about 10 hours ago. And y'all want me to teach? I can do it. Why? Because I knew the Bible because I was raised in church. So I would give a little Bible lesson. Oh, God, are you listening to me? I know what it is to go to praise and worship practice and then as soon as it was over, get drunk. Listen to me. I'm talking about something I know. I know how to get on the keyboard and play, or the piano back then, play on the piano and watch everybody shout and jump and buck, and me as unsaved and lost as a yard dog, lost in the house. I knew how to dress. I knew what key to hit. I knew how to make it happen. You would be surprised at the people who know all kind of info about God, but don't know God. I met a pastor one day, many years ago now, and we got to talking, and he started asking me about the Holy Spirit. And as we got to talking, we started talking about salvation. Here's what he said to me. He says, you know, I don't know ever in my life if I've ever asked God to come into my heart and forgive me of my sin. And how long have you been pastoring? That's something probably you ought to know, that your sins have been forgiven. Come on now. So I led him in the sinner's prayer. And him a pastor. He goes, I feel better. He said, this is just what I've done all my life. I was raised in church. After that, I went to seminary. My dad was a preacher, so therefore I just thought I was all right. He said, but I've noticed lately, I just want more of God, and I haven't been able to get there. My God. God, give us an insatiable desire for you. You see, you'd be surprised. They quote scripture, and they know the word, but they don't know the God of the word. They know the word, but they don't know the God that said the word. They dance and they shout, they fall out, they read, they maybe even preach, but they don't know God. Have you ever been around people when the Holy Spirit moves and they've been serving God a long time? They don't even know what to do. What was that? That was the Holy Spirit. Amen. Listen, church. God, I gotta hurry. This young man Samuel is serving in the house of God. But the Bible is clear in verse 7 that Samuel did not know God. There's such pressure in the church to act like you know the Lord. There's such pressure in church of having a religious tradition does not ensure that you know the Lord. You know, how many people have you met go, do you know the Lord? Yeah, I was saved when I was 6. I've got a long history with the Lord. Do you know him? Well, I know him in my own way. There's some of you I know in my own way. I know your name. I happen to know that today is Brother Nader's birthday. Not because I'm that close to him, but I have Facebook. Come on. And some of us serve God by Facebook. We know what the preacher said about God. We know what the worship leader sung about God. We know what everybody else does about God. I know the right time to stand up and the wrong time to sit down. I know when to clap and when not to. I know when to lift up a hand and I know that. But do you know God? Have you had an experience with God? My God, I feel this thing this morning. Samuel doesn't know God. Just because you can sing doesn't mean that you know God. Just because you can count money and take up offering doesn't mean that you know God. Just because you can preach doesn't mean that you know God. Do you know God? Samuel is lost in the house. How many of us are lost in the house? Moving through the routines of church but don't know God. Listen, routines are good. I'm not against routines. Because a habit will take you further than desire. I'm going to say it again. A habit will take you further than desire. That's why it's so good for you to develop godly habits. Because a habit, you know, when you got a habit of reading your word, you wake up in the morning, you ain't feeling good, you're going through a bad time, your habit is just to open up the Bible and read. Oh, come on, somebody. You would be surprised at the people in this room that are praying for God to do something with your children, but God hadn't done anything with you. Lord, touch my children. God said, won't you pray, let me touch you. Won't you let me touch you. So many children have been turned off by their parents because they have a form of godliness but don't know God. You know all the religious traditions and what to do and how to do church, yet you do not know the God of the church. How can you expect the minister to minister to your children when the child has heard you talk about the minister all month long? Samuel, who is predestined to be one of the greatest, most tremendous prophets in the Old Testament. I have no idea where I'm at. Just hang with me. He started his career lost in the house. So you see, man, I'm telling you, the Lord is just touching me this morning. I'm starting to realize, just preaching this message, why I hated church people. Not now. Basically, when I was a kid, I really disliked church people. Because they would act one way in the house and another way outside the house. Are you listening to me? Listen, when you know somebody and you are in love with them, I don't act one way when Sherry's with me. And then when Sherry's not, hey girl, how you doing? No! He had learned the system of the house of God, of church, but he was lost in the house. Yes, brothers and sisters, church, there are options. You can come to church and still not be part of the church. Because there will always be a Hophni and Phinehas types in the church, and Samuel was lost in the church. He was lost in the house. There are people who live and die, members of the church, never miss, but they are lost in this house. There are people in this place, possibly, that you're here because you love me, or maybe you love the Crystal River Church of God. And all that, thank God for. But you're lost in the house. And we see that God was calling out to Samuel, who was lost in the house. God, aren't you glad even though you might be lost in the house, he still calls out to you? You know, I mean, man, I was raised in this thing called Pentecost. So, you know, I go to other churches and I just got to look around and see how to act. I'm not trying to be funny, but I'm being real. I remember our church, when our church burned to the ground. It was a distraction for a robbery that was taking place about a mile and a half away. My dad's church burned down to the ground. So my dad said, the First Baptist Church in our community said, you can have church at our church at 2:00 on Sunday afternoon. So my dad, you know, he told all of us kids, well, we're going to go to church at the First Baptist because they're letting us have their church at 2:00 and not charging us. So we're going to go to their church at 11:00, and then we're going to go to our church at 2:00. And I'm like, good Lord, we got to go to church all day. Come on, man. And then we get there, and it's a Baptist church, and nothing wrong with Baptist. My brother was a good Baptist boy, but we was in the Baptist church, and you could hear a pin drop. I was kind of, you know, I had to clear my throat, but scared too. But my dad, he had a kind of a loud, his voice was more booming than mine. We were sitting there, and the preacher was preaching. I saw it coming on my dad. Like, oh, Jesus. My dad said, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Everybody looking. I'm like, Dad, I go to school with these people. Shh. And then finally my dad said, yeah, go ahead and preach. And the preacher just stopped. Lost where he was. So, you know, I mean, so I understand that the people don't know how to act sometimes. I've been to a Catholic funeral and been at a Catholic wedding. And before the wedding, I was like part of the wedding and I didn't know. I walked up on stage. I about got whooped. You ain't supposed to be up here. Oh, I'm the one doing part of the wedding today. Yep, you're not a priest, are you? I go, no, I'm kind of a priest. But are you? No, I'm not a priest. Then sit your behind down over there. Yes, ma'am. Samuel didn't even recognize that it was God who was calling out to him. So he goes to all that he knew. It is 10 o'clock almost. I only got two slides. I'm done. Come on. Samuel didn't even recognize that it was God who was calling out to him. So he goes to all that he knew, Eli. He said, yeah, did you call me? No, I didn't, son. Go back to bed. I'm trying to sleep. I don't know if y'all have ever had one of those nights. I had one last night. Like every hour, I just wake up. And then at 3 o'clock, I finally got some good sleep. But I closed my eyes and then my alarm clock. I said, what? I just closed them. What do you mean that's time to wake up? It was 2 hours. No, it can't go that fast. So Eli, what do you want, child? But the third time, he said, oh. He didn't hear it was God. But he knew enough. He had been in the presence of God enough to go the next time and say, Lord, here am I. So he goes to Eli and says, you called me. Eli says, no. Again, no. Again, no. Eli said, son, the God is calling you. Next time, say, here am I. Now, this is important. Because before he could ever find God, he had to find himself. Here am I. I want that to sink in. Before he could find God, he had to find himself. In other words, he had to quit lying to himself about where he was at. God, here am I. In my situation, in my sin, whatever it might be. You know, with the prodigal son, it doesn't say that the prodigal son was in the pigsty and he found God. The Bible said he came to himself. He realized where he was. My prayer today is that we realize where we are. Not where we should be. Not where everybody else thinks we are. But where we are. Where am I? Where am I with you? Do I know you, God, or do I just know about you? I started off lost in the house of God. I started off lost. You ask anybody in that church, they'd tell you, no, he ain't saved. I never acted like I was. Getting lost in the house doesn't happen overnight. It just slowly does it. But what I want us to do, in Luke chapter 15, there are three stories about lost. A lost coin, a lost sheep, and a lost son. When the woman realized that she lost the coin, the Bible says she moved the furniture. She swept it clean, trying to figure out where she lost it. Where did you lose it? Parents, listen to me. Let me give you this. I'm done. I've got to be done. Even if you have a beef with church, or a church, and everybody will from time to time. Why? Because again, you and I are in it. Don't talk that mess in front of your kids. They probably love the leadership, but are tainted by your feelings. Let me tell you, I'm done. My daughter asked me this one time. We were headed somewhere, and it wasn't about, because I'm the pastor here, I really like the leadership of this church. And I think my daughter does too, but we were going somewhere, and she said this to me, Lauren, she's about 13 years old. She said, "Now, Dad, do we like them or not?" And I said, "What?" She goes, "You don't like them. Do we like them?" The light went off. She had been hearing my conversation. She had been hearing me gripe to Sherry. She had been hearing me gripe to my friends. And she didn't like them because I didn't like them. She was tainted because I tainted her. God, forgive us. Stand to your feet in this place. Lost in the house. Our text said that Samuel, he knew church, he knew the sanctuary of God, but not the God of the sanctuary. And I'm asking you today, you're in the house, but are you lost in the house? Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, I give you my word, I won't embarrass you. You don't know Jesus, but you want to. Would you slip up your hand? You can put it right back down. Anybody in this room, I see that hand. God bless you, hon. Now let me ask this question before I pray. Are you here? But maybe you're lost in the house. Maybe you've lost your way. Maybe you've lost your passion. Maybe you lost your vision. And you hear the Lord calling you today. Would you slip up your hand? Thank you. I see those hands. I see those. I see those. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Would you just take your hands as an act of surrender and lift them unto God? And I want you to throw your head back and look up into the heavens. And I want to pray, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, you saw the hands that went up, and you saw the hand that went up for salvation. Lord, you said that if we asked for forgiveness, that we would receive it. You said, God, that if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, we shall be saved. And I thank you, Lord, for that one salvation today. And Lord, for those who raised their hands, and Lord, for some that were too proud to even raise their hand, you know where we're at. And I ask you today, God, don't let us be lost in the house any longer. God, I pray for a fire of the Holy Ghost to permeate our being. Lord, some have been hurt in the house, but we don't want to be lost in the house. Some have been neglected in the house, but we don't want to be lost in the house. So God, today we come before you and we pray that you would illuminate this place as the woman who lost the coin in Luke 15. Lord, we're lighting the candle. We're lighting the candle, God, because we don't want to be lost in this house by your Holy Spirit. subdue us, surround us, and do in us what we cannot do for ourselves. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. Come on, give the Lord praise in the house.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.